Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. So today's daf is daf lamed ches. So we got to the very last line of lamed zayin mabez. The last few words, the Gemara has been discussing the dinam of shehiyah. So we're continuing on a very, very important Gemara here with regards to shehiyah and chazara, very halach lamaisa. So the Gemara says again the very last line of lamed zayin mabez. By mine me Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, they ask the following shaila: Shachach kedera agabe kira ubashla b'shabes mahu. Let's say a person forgot a keder, he forgot a pot on an oven, and let it cook through Shabbos, what's the din? So in other words, if a person violated Shehiyah, can he benefit, can he eat that food? So how does a person violate Shehiyah? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi writes on the top here, Shachach keder alibad man da'as, the one who prohibits Shehiyah. But if you assume Shehiyah is fine, so this isn't even a shaila. But Tosu says, even the one who holds she is allowed, even according to Chananya, there still is a hechatimsa where it's also according to Chananya. And that Tosu is right to the top here, Shachach kedera agabe kira bishla b'shabes mahu. Yaf agab de kaimlan kichananya. Even though we saw yesterday's daf that Tosos and Rashi and we paskin like Chananya that if it's Maichel ben Jusai, she is allowed. Hacha bai b'dilo bashal k'Maichel ben Jusai. Here's a situation where the food wasn't cooked to Maichel ben Jusai. Demo de bechananya. Even Chananya agrees that it's permitted. And then Tosa says, another case where even Chananya or others would agree that would be Aser, is a case of Inami Baya Filu B'Kedidr Chaisa. We spoke at Kedidr Chaisa that if you drop in a raw piece of meat before Shabbos, no one thinks about it because it's going to take a long time to cook. No one's going to violate Shem Yichata. So even if it's according to everyone, if you drop a raw piece of meat right before Shabbos, it's allowed. So even in this case, says Tosa, it could be a problem of Kedidr Chaisa, the kahad, the sharim, a perakama, that which we permitted keder chaisa before Shabbos, a raw piece of meat on daf yitches, keder chaisa hainu dafka betanur, only in an oven shechum rav where there's a lot of heat in a tanur. We'll see in Amud Beis why that is. The below chito yispashal ad lamachar, that you don't have to stoke the coals when it comes to an oven. The oven is very compact. It's very enclosed, and therefore on its own, it's going to act and cook. There's no need for my involvement. Of Al-Kira, when it comes to an oven which is a little bit more open, where the heat isn't as intense, the Shali Be'avir, where there's some airspace, Aser, it's Aser, even Kedera Chaisa, Di'ikal Mechash Shemechata, it's Aser because you might come to stoke the coals. So there are situations, even according to Chananya, says Tosos, where Shia would be Aser. So what would the din be if a person violated Shehiyah? Can he benefit from that on Shabbos? Can he eat from that on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, two lines down on Daf Lam Neches, Ishtik V'Amar Lomidi. There is no answer. They didn't have an answer. Reb Chiya was asked this question. Reb Chiya bar Abba did not have an answer. So then, Nafik Darshalu, he went to Darshan and he said, Hamivashel b'Shabbos b'Shogeg, one who violates Bishel deraisa on Shabbos accidentally, Yochel, he's allowed to eat it. We'll see more about these dinim later on in the Masechta. It's called Maisa Shabbos. When a person violates Shabbos, what the dinim is, can you get Hana? Can someone else get Hana? It depends if it was Shogeg, it depends if it was Mazer. There's a three-way machlokas. But very pashup shot, Hamavash b'Shabbos b'Shogeg Yochel, one who accidentally cooks on Shabbos may eat the food, but may it if one purposely violates Shabbos, lo Yochel, you can't eat. That's the din by Bishop of Shabbos. What about Shehiyah, which is not an Issa Midirayis, it's an Issa Midirbanim, Veloshna. He says, Veloshna, there's no difference. Veloshna what? So, my Veloshna asks Gemara, no difference when it comes to Shehiyah. So the Gemara says, there's a machlok is what he meant. Rabba, Rav Yosef, Damri Tavayu, both of them hold Letera. That Leheter, in other words, when it comes to Shehiyah, Loshna Mezid, Loshna Shogid, Shehiyah, it's mutter. If you violated Shehiyah, you're allowed to benefit from Shehiyah. Whether it was done accidentally or on purpose, it's permitted. And the Gemara says, why? By Bishul is there Chilik, but by Shehiyah, it's mutter across the board? Because Mevasha hu dekavad Maisa, when you do a Maisa, by Bishul, you actually did a Maisa, you cooked the food. So there, B'mezid lo yocha. Have a high when it comes to Shehiyah, the low covered mice, you didn't do any action, you just left it there. It was Shehiyah. And by going on Shabbos, you didn't do any mice on Shabbos, you just left it there on Shabbos. There's no mice, so therefore Mezid Nami Yochel, therefore even Mezid you could eat. So Rabbi Rav Yosef understood that it was mutter across the board when it comes to Shehiyah. On the other hand, the Gemara says, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Li'isura. He felt the other way around, that we're more machmir by Shia, that Shia is Aser even Shogeg. Loshna Mezid, Loshna Shogeg. Loshna Mezid, Loshna Shogeg. It's Aser by Shia. Why? Mivashal hu delo Asi la Rume. When it comes to Bishal, No one's going to play any games. There's no need for gezeiras. So Rashi explains the first line down here, narrow line down, asa larume, lasos mezid. No one's going to play games with mezid. Velomer shogi ha'isi. No one's going to say, no one's going to do it on purpose by bishul and say, I did it accidentally. Velo nech shadu yisrael al shabbos. We're not choshit klai yisrael for violating Shabbos deraisa. So we don't make a gezeira. So if a guy accidentally bishogi cooked on Shabbos, we let him eat it. However, says the Gemara, Aval hai, when it comes to Shehir, which is only an Issa Medir Banan, the Asi Larume, people are going to start playing games, Bishogeg Namiloch Yocha. Therefore, they instituted an Issa, even when the guy did Shehir, Bishogeg, it's Asir to eat from it. Rashi explains three narrow lines down, the Asi Larume, they're going to start playing games when it comes to Shehir. The Issa Medir Banan, it's only Issa Medir Banan. Vikilile, it's the lower level. The Asi Lishuya Bemezim, people are going to start leaving things over, violating Shehir on purpose, and they're going to claim, I forgot it was Bishogeg, and therefore they had to be more Machmir by Shia than by Mezid, than by Bishol. So we see from here that Shia is different than Bishol, no matter it's Avar Vashah. Person violates Shia, it's definitely different. The question is it different Mutter in all cases, or is it different in that it's Usser in all cases? So the Gemara says, Mezid asks the Gemara, Shachach Kedera Agabe Kira. A guy left a Kedera on top of a Kira. U Bishla B'Shabbos, and he cooked on Shabbos. This is Shehir in essence. You let it cook on Shabbos to Shehir. Bishogeg Yochal B'mezid LeYochal. So we're going to see this is going to be a steer because here already the Brayso said this is a chilek between Shogeg and Mezid with respect to Shehir. And above, no one thought there's a chilek. They were just arguing whether it's both Aser or they both Mutter. But there's a chilek in this Brayso. So we have to address this. And then the Gemara qualifies. Now this next point we have to read through, but we're going to come back to this point about Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Shita, about what they hold here, about which foods can be cooked versus what we learned a couple days ago. So we're going to read through this, but kind of put it on the back burner, no pun intended, just for a few moments. So the Gemara says that Bamed Varamur, when this is all true, that again, when you do Shia Bishogig, you can eat it, but when you do Bamezid, you can't eat it. Bamed Varamur, when is this true? Bechamin Shlohuchmu Kotzarcho, when it comes to hot water that wasn't fully cooked, the tavshu shel bishul kol tzarcho and cooked food that wasn't fully cooked. Aval chamin shuchma kol tzarcho. The tavshu shel bishul kol tzarcho. If it's hot water and food that was fully cooked, bein bishogig bein bemezid yochal. You could eat it across the board according to divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer chamin shuchma kol tzarcho mutar. When it comes to hot water that was fully cooked, that's allowed mipnei shemitzamik virado. Because as hot water continues to cook, it gets worse. Why does it get worse? Because the water begins to evaporate. So that's mitzamik virado. However, tavshil food should bishul kol tzarcho. It's also mipnei shemitzamik v'yafalo because as it cooks, it gets better and better. We saw the chilek the other day about mitzamik v'ralo that even chacham would agree that's permitted versus mitzamik v'yafalo. So we're going to ignore this just for our focus right now. And the Gemara says, "What's an example? V'chol mitzamik v'yafalo kigon karav upulim abasat tarif. All these types of items are aser. V'chol mitzamik v'ralo is mutter. That's the klal." What we could glean from this brisa is v'katani miha. What we glean from this brisa is tavshil shalabishul katzarcho. Then it comes to something that wasn't fully cooked. So we had this discussion. So just look at Rashi to explain what's going on here. Rashi around 10-15 lines down katani mihas bishalo bishul katzarcho. When it wasn't fully cooked, the yesh chilek bein shogeg lemezid b'mashe. We saw in the beginning of the brisa there's a chilek bein b'mezid b'mashogeg when it wasn't fully cooked. This is where a person violated shia, where it wasn't fully cooked. It wasn't fully cooked according to chachamim or chachanim, however you pass him. But yet there's a chilek between shogeg and mezid. And Rashi goes on to explain kasha bein l'rabba Rav Yosef d'sharu b'mezid bein l'Rav Nachman d'asa shogeg. So this is a question according to both opinions above. So the Gemara says, I understand Bishma back inside. This makes sense to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Who was the one who held above that Shehir, Avar Vashah, it's Aser, Bein Bishogeg, Bein Bemezid. So this makes sense. Why is there a chiluk in the Braisa? So the Gemara explains, and because Lokasha, Kan Kodim Gzera, Kan Acher Gzera. One is before the Gzera. So before the Gzera, we had a chiluk between Shogeg and Mezid. Shogeg is Mutter, and Mezid is Aser, just like regular Bishol. But the discussion above, is after they made a Gzera. We'll see the Gzera later on. After the Gzera, where they said it's Aser across the board. So that's how Rav Nachman could figure out this price. That this price is before the Gzera, and the discussion above is after the Gzera. Elal Rabba Rav Yosef Damru Lehetera, where they say across the board that Shogeg and Mezid is in Mutter, he called them Gzera. If this is before Gzera, the price above is before the Gzera, then they should say Mezid should be Kasha Mezid. Then even Mezid should be permissible. And the E Lacha Gzera, and if this is after the Gzera, Kasha Nami Shogeg. then the case of shogeg should be a problem because shogeg after the gzeira should be usur. So the Gemara says kasha. So either way, there's a kasha to reading this understanding. And the Gemara says, in the end of the day, my gzeira. So what was the gzeira that we were referring to before? We said there's a gzeira that there's a certain change in the understanding of shiva. What was the gzeira? So the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda, Bar Shmuel, Amar of Rav Abba, Amar of Kana, Amar of Betchila, how you omim initially that said, Hamavash b'Shabbos b'shogeg, Yochel, one who accidentally cooks on Shabbos, can eat the food. If b'mezid, lo yochel, if a person accidentally cooks, rather a person on purpose cooks, he cannot eat the food. V'hu adin l'shocheach, and it's true as well, if a person forgot, in other words, in terms of shehiyah, a person forgot the food on there, one would also, the same chilek, shogeg you could eat from shehiyah, mezid you can't. That was before the gzeira. However, mishir rabum masharin b'mezid, people then started increasingly, purposely, doing violating shehiyah, v'omrin, and they claimed, shecheichem anu, we forgot. Chazir v'kantu al-shecheich, they went ahead and they penalized even the shecheich, even the guy who did shehiyah. So this was the gzeira that was in fact in place. So the Gemara now says, so we had this point I mentioned to pay attention above. We had Rav Meir Rabbi Yehuda talking about which foods were subject to the dinim of shehiyah, which ones were allowed. So we had a certain sheet to how Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda were presented here, but that goes against what we saw in yesterday's daf and daf lamed zayin. So we're going to go through that just for a few lines, and the Gemara is going to say, then we're going to go back and review, go back to the discussion of shehiyah avar v'shaha, and we'll talk about halacha ma'is in just a few moments. So the Gemara now says, kasha de Rabbi Meir, ad Rabbi Meir. The kasha de Bihuda, ad Rabbi Yehuda. This is a stira. If you look at Rashi to explain the stira, Rashi says we're around a little bit more than halfway down the narrow lines, and Rashi, kasha de Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, ad Rabbi Meir. The Tanya Le'el, above the Reish Pirkei Daf Lamed Zayin, we said, Rabbi Meir, Alibah de Beisil, Chamin, you could put hot water on and do Shia, Avalo Tavshah, but food you can't. But Hacha here, Rabbi Meir is presenting, Shari Chamin, V'chamin, V'tavshah, Shabisha Kotracha. Here he permitted not only hot water, but even Tavshah he permitted. And also says Rashi, Kashir de Rabbi Huda de Rabbi Huda, the Hasim over there on Daf Lamed Zayin, Amr Rabbi Huda, Chamin v'Tavshil, that you could put both hot water and food on. V'hacha, Aser Tavshil, Shabisha Kol Tzarcha. But here he says Tavshil is Aser. So we have two contradictions between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir, Adar Rabbi Meir, Lo Kashir. There is no contradiction. Halachachila, Hadiyevit. L'chadchila is when Rabbi Meir says only chamin avalo tafshil, but b'diyevet, if one had done this anyways, then even the tafshil would be permitted. And with respect to Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Huda, nami lo kasha, that too is in the stira. Kama guf of a keduma, kama shena guf of a keduma. If it's guf of a keduma, so then Rabbi Huda permits both chamin v'tafshil. If it's a case of ainu guf of a keduma, then Rabbi Huda only permits chamin, but he doesn't permit tafshil. So back to the main question, the Gemara says, the ibaylu of avashoma. What's the bottom line? When a person violates shehiyah, my, what do we say? Mikansu rabbanon olo. Did we institute a penalty and he cannot eat from it, or do we not institute a penalty? What is the bottom line? So the Gemara says, Toshma damar b'shmo bar nasan amar b'chanina. Kishahalach Rabbi Yosi litzipari. When he went to Tzipari, matzah chamin shinishal gabekira. He saw that there's hot water that was in violation of shehiyah. For lo aser lami, he didn't say it was aser, meaning a person can. You can't eat the chamin. But then he went, then he saw the beitim mitzumkos shinishto agabi kira v'asalan. Then he saw eggs that were violating shia, and he says one cannot benefit. My love laoso Shabbos was is not for that particular Shabbos, but after the next Shabbos, it would be allowed. So Rashi says lo the Shabbos abba. So Gemara says no lo the Shabbos abba the next Shabbos. So Rashi says what does that mean? Lo the Shabbos abba asalan achshav shelo lasos kein the Shabbos abba v'abechi l'shari. In other words, in this Shabbos, he said, you could eat it, b'di'evid, avar v'sha, you're allowed. But next Shabbos, don't do that. Don't, l'chachila, don't put yourself in this situation. So he paskin, avar v'sha would be permitted. So the Gemara says, mechlal, does this imply, the beitim mitzumkos, mitzdamiks v'yafalahen? The fact that they asked for the eggs that were continually cooking, does that mean eggs are considered things that cook better and better, as the more they cook, the better they get? Where it says, it is. Damer of Chama Bar Chanina, Pamachas, one time, Nisarachti, I was visiting Ani, Rebbe, Lamakum Echad, we went to one place, me and Rebbe, the Hevi Lefanino Beitzim Mitzumkos, they brought in front of us some eggs that were very, very cooked. Ozrodin, like Ozrodin, which are again very small, they were overcooked, and Vachalnu Mehen Meharbi, we ate so much of it. Why did we eat so much of it? Rashi says, why did they eat so much? Last line of Rashi, Umidamer Achalnu Harbi, the fact that we eat a lot, Michal de Yafe land, they were very good as they were overcooked. So yes, eggs are considered Mitzamik Vyafalo. Bottom line, had to be passed with respect to a person who is avar v'shaha, a guy violates shehiyah, can one eat the food or can you not eat the food? And the Be'er Lacha Paskins, rather the Ramah Paskins, in both in Rishon and Gimel, in Rishon and Dalet, that one may not benefit from it. If a person violated it, it's usher to eat the food if he was in violation of Shehiyah. That being said, the Be'er Lacha, in the beginning of Siman Rishon and Gimel, he does say that there are those poskim who actually point out that Shehiyah is only usher if you plan to have it that night. Because you might stoke the coals, you want to have it for the meal, but if you plan to have it the next day, then a person doesn't think about the chalon, you don't think about the food, because it's going to be 8 hours from now, and therefore Shehiyah would be allowed. So he says, so maybe if you plan to have the food for Shabbos day, for chalon, and the guy was in violation of Shehiyah, you should be able to eat it, because Shem Yechata is only relevant when you plan to have the food at nighttime. But when you plan to have it during the daytime, so then Shehiyah is not in violation. So the Be'er Lacha quotes this opinion. He quotes, and he says, that the Medina ain't lismoch alza. A person should not rely on this din. But he says, if it's a makom, if a person has a b'dievet, a person really needs the food, yesh lismoch alza, you could rely, if a person violates Shehiyah and it's for the next day, and you really need the food, it's b'makom shasa d'chak, then even then, the Be'er Lacha says, one can rely on this din of Shehiyah, is not relevant when it's for the next day. Okay, now back inside, the Gemara, last two lines as follows. The Gemara says, Beis Hillel Omrim Af Machzirim. You're allowed to even do Chazara. Chazara is not in violation. So Amr of Sheshes, Ledivya Omer, those who permit Machzirin, it's Afilu B'Shabbos. Even on Shabbos itself, you could do Chazara. Rashi says, top line, Machzirin Afilu B'Shabbos B'Yom HaMachras. You could do Chazara from the Chumpat on Shabbos itself. Rashi Tosis here has a cryptic line, but he's referring to another Tosis where he writes elsewhere. I'll just explain outside that there really are three different opinions when it comes to Chazara. And it's very, very important to know these dinim. Again, this too is very halacha l'maisa. So Pashup Shat is, Chazara is asr when a person takes out food on Shabbos and returns the food on Shabbos. That same Shabbos, if you didn't have the various stipulations and conditions in place, Chazara would be prohibited. You take the chillin pot out, put it on the ground, you put it back in, you violated Chazara. There is an opinion of the Tosos who holds that not only do you violate it on Shabbos, but even violate it on Erev Shabbos. That if a person, let's say Erev Shabbos, close to Chashecha, a few minutes before candle lighting, a person takes out the chillin pot and then returns it without the conditions, you could violate Chazara even on Erev Shabbos. That's a Shitas Tosos, the top line here, Tosos here, the top short Tosos, he refers to this, he speaks elsewhere in great length, but he says you could violate it even on Erev Shabbos, and this is brought down even by the Ramah, such an opinion. The Mishabruah says he's not sure how close to Shabbos that violation is. I mean, if I, Friday morning, remove the chillin pot and put it back on, that's certainly fine. So how close to Shabbos does it have to be in violation? The Mishabruah says he's not sure. Then there's another Shita, and that's the Shita of the Ran. The Ran says the only time a person violates Chazara is only if he took the chillin pot off on Erev Shabbos and returned it on Shabbos. But if a person was on Shabbos itself, he took it off while Shabbos and put it back on Shabbos, that's not in violation. It's only when he took it off Friday and put it on when Shabbos begun, that's the Shita of the Ran. So these are three different Shitas found in the Rishonim. And in fact, when the Ramah quotes this halacha, he quotes the Shita of the Ran, and he says as follows. He says, Yesh omrim dechol ze'en osa rak b'shenalu menakiru mib'od yom. Chazar is only relevant when you take it on Erev Shabbos. V'lo hechazir ad she'yachashecha, until dark. Aber in lacho misham mishachashecha. If you do chazar even at nighttime, when Shabbos starts, afilo anicha gabekarka. Even if you place a chump out on the ground and you put it back on, that's mutter according to the Ran. And he says, v'chein nogin lahakel b'tanurim shalonu. And that's how we could practice. The practice is to be makel, to do chazara, even on Shabbos. But then he writes, v'tov l'hachmer, it's certainly best for one to be machmer. So we see that really there's a lot of room to be lenient. That being said, we don't rely on this Ran. But there are many instances where if you add different reasons to be makel, you could throw in the Ran as another reason why a person should be makel. And this comes up in many, many instances, not for now, but to be aware of the Shita of the Ran, that there is an opinion out there that one can rely on. If a person did Chazara, if it was all done entirely on Shabbos, then one would not be in violation of Chazara. One may be able to rely on that Shita. Okay, now take a look back in the Gemara. The Gemara says, top of Laman Chesem and Beis as follows. Vafer be Oshaya Savar Af Machzirin Afil b'Shabbos. He also felt you could do Chazara on Shabbos. Damar Rabbi Oshaya Pam Achas Hayinu Omdim Le'ela Rabbi Chia Rabba. We were once standing above Rabbi Chia. Ve'helanu Kumkun Shechamin Midyotel Hatachtona L'Diotel Yona. He had transferred some food from a chillin pot of some sort from an attic to a different location. And Umazagnu La Sakos He poured us some water, some drink, some wine, and he returned it back to his place. So he said he did chazara on Shabbos. So see, chazara on Shabbos is permitted. And he didn't say anything to us. So even though chazara is permitted, there are a number of conditions that must be met, and we're going to see a number of them here. It's a little bit tricky how it reads in, and the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah also bring these various conditions. Ramah has a couple more conditions than brought in by Shulchan Aruch. I'm not going to go through them right now, but we'll read through at least the simple reading of the Gemara now. So the Gemara says, Lo Shano, this is only true when is chazara permitted, Ella she'odin biyada, only if you're still holding on to it in your hand. Avahalnichna garbar karka, us, if you place it down on the ground, it's us. That won't be allowed. So Amar Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Tadai, David Lagarma who David. He was going to David Lagarma for himself. Rashi says, what does it mean for himself? Yachid hu, b'davar v'ein halacha kamosa. He was a das yachid, we don't pask like him. Ella, how do we pask him? Ella hachi Amar b'chiv Amar b'yochanan. We told like Rabbi Yochanan, afilu hinichal gabi karka mutter, that even if you place it on the ground, you could still put it back in. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you don't need any conditions. You could place it on the ground and put it back on, and that's all allowed. Upligi bar Rav Dimi, Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, v'tervai mishmei de Rabbi Elazar. They have a machlokas. Amar chad amar odim yada mutter, agabi karka aser. One said, if you're holding in your hand, suspended in the air, that's allowed. But if you place it on the ground, it's aser. V'chad amar hinichal gabi karka, nami mutter. The other one felt, even if you place it on the ground, it's mutter. So this is a machlokas amarayim, whether agabi karka, you could still do chazar. So amar chizki mishmei de abaye. Had amr's odim yada mutter, that which we said you're holding in your hand, it's mutter to put it back. Lo amr ella shadai to lahach. So you also need not only holding on to it, you also have to have the das to put it back. Aval ein daitel hachzer aser. If you don't have the das to put it back, then it's aser. Michlal, that implies agar bekarka. If you place it on the ground, aval pisha daitel hachzer aser. Even though you may have had das to return it, that's not enough. You need two things. You have to have the das, and you also have to have it older and beyond while you're still holding it. Those are two requirements. Zeika dami. Others say amir chizkia mishmei dabai. That which we said on the garbikarka is aser. Lo amir elish ein daitel hachzer. Only if you did have das. If you did have das, mutter, you can put it back, meaning according to this, all you really need is das. You don't need the karka. You don't care, nothing to do with the karka. Mechlal she'ovdin biyada, when it's still in your hand, afa pishein daitel hachzer mutter. As long as you're holding it, you don't need das according to this man damar. So again, it's a little bit tricky in the Gemara which way we come out, whether you need daitel hachzer, whether you need odin biyada, whether gabi karka is aser. One of the other conditions also has to be garfa katum, also has to be a dain cham, has to still be hot. If you hold it in your hand for 3 hours and it cools off, you can't put it back. So these are various conditions that are necessary to be in place. There is an interesting discussion in the Ber Lacha quotes from Rabbi Kiva Eger. What would the din be if someone else took my food off and put it back on? He did chazar for me in violation, or he took off the food, or let's say. So now, am I in violation of, am I not allowed to eat my food anymore? Do we apply the din of Ein Adam Oser Davar Shein Shalom? Could a person take my food, and could he oser my food by taking off the chum pot, and I can't put it back on? So the din is, the Ber Lacha explains, based on Rabbi Kiva Eger, of course it'd be oser. If a person poured milk into my chum pot, I can't say he asked my food. He has no right. Ain adam osir davar shena shalo. Of course, he has the right to ask my food. The metzias, it's there. So here as well, the fact that metzias he violates something. Then the only time we say ain adam osir davar shena shalo is when a person tries to do something with dibor, or a person tries to do something with machshava. A guy tries to be makdish my car. It doesn't work. You can't be makdish my car. But if a guy, you know, burned my car, well, he burned my car. If a guy poured milk in my chulm, he poured milk in my chulm. If a guy did a mice and he took my chulm pot off, it's a violation of chazara. I can't put it back on. So he says, therefore, certainly a person who does affect my food, the isser of chazara will be, in fact, in place. Now, there's an interesting discussion. What happens in the following scenario? Let's say your food is on your chulm pot, or it's on a crock pot, or it's on a blech of some sort, a hot plate, and your electricity goes out. So now, do we consider the chulm pot as if it's agabe karka? Because it's no longer in the heating element. And would I be able to now, let's say, bring it over to my neighbor's house and put it onto, would that be a violation of chazara? Do we say the fact that the lights went out, that's as if it was agabe karka? So if Simchan Bar Mekon says that no. The only time you need das, the only time das is necessary, it's only when you don't have das. But when there's zero das, in other words, when I took off a chulm pot, and I didn't have das to put it on, that's active das, that I can't put it back on. I had active das not to put it back on. But let's say there is no das at all. I wasn't thinking about this at all. The lights went out, the electricity went out, it wasn't my das. There is zero das. Then Rav Simcha Bar Mekon says the condition of daito lahachzer is still relevant. The only time Daitel Hachzer isn't relevant is only when I know Das to return it, and then I change my mind. But if there is zero Das at all, they're just unaware, so then Rav Simcha Bar Mekonnen felt that still is Bechlal, having Das Lahachzer, and one would be, in fact, be able to return it back to the neighbor's, let's say, hoplite or something of that sort. So Gemara now says, last couple lines before the Mishnah, by Rabbi Yirmiyah, Talon b'makil mahu. Let's say you suspend the pot on a some type of stick. You didn't put it on the ground, but it's still suspended. It's still resting somewhere. Or mahu, what's the din? Or hanicha nagabe mita. You place it on a bed. Mahu, you don't place it on the on the ground. You place it on the counter. Let's say it might be similar to a bed. What would the din be there? Would that be considered agabe karka and aser, or would that be considered? Would that be considered odin b'yada? Even though you're not actually holding it, is it daf? You need to hold it. Or just it can't be on the karka. So the mita, I'm not holding it, but it's not got my karka. So this is the shaila the Gemara had asked. Gemara doesn't answer the question. And then by Ravashi asked the question, pinam mecham ilmecham mahu. What's the din of going from one hot water from one kettle to another kettle? Would that be permitted? So there's a discussion, Rashi Tosa. I don't want to go through right now. It's a little bit hard to read inside. But is this a question of mecham lemecham, a question of hatmana? Is it a question of bishul, a question of shia, a question of chazar? It's a little bit tricky. But either way, the Gemara ends off as a take. We don't have an answer to the questions. But it does become very, very relevant for the following shaila when it comes to the chulam pot, let's say, starts to get dry. And you want to put hot water from your hot water urn into the chulam pot, would that be allowed? And the based on the Shaar Tzion and the Chazini, they point to this Gemara and say that we could be mekel, that you could take hot water from the hot water urn and bring it into the chulam pot, that's mechem lemechem, from one heating element to another heating element, they are mekel, that one would be allowed to do this. Now, one of the things one needs to be careful about this is twofold, really. The Rav Shlomo Zalman, when he talks about this din, he says a person, really ideally, a person should take the chulam pot out and then pour the hot water in, below the hot water urn, because if you leave the chulam pot in the fire, in the heating element still, and you pour the water in, that could be subject to the violation of Hagasa. Hagasa is mixing food. You can't mix food when it's over the heating element, because Hagasa is memaher the bishul. It hastens the cooking process. It's a type of bishul. And therefore, you should take it off the heating element if possible. But the other thing a person has to keep in mind as well when pouring hot water into a chulam pot is also in terms of basa v'chalav. Because once you do that, you put it over, and the steam from the chulam goes up, that zeya, that steam, now renders the hot water urn fleishiks, in which case it'd be a problem of using that for coffee and milk, that day or whenever. That'd be a problem. Okay, so these are things to keep in mind. This is how we see that. These gemaras are very, very much halacha lemaisa. Let's continue and finish the daf now. We're halfway down Lamed Ches Mabez. The new Mishnah tells us as follows. A little bit tricky. It's a little bit of a technical Mishnah in Gemara, but we have to just reacquaint ourselves again with the previous Mishnah in the beginning of the Masechta, because we're going to be discussing three different types of ovens. So we start off the parak talking about Akira. Akira, the din was that if you're using Kash and Gvava, so then Shehir was allowed, Shehir or Chazar would be allowed, but Gefes and Eitzim, we said, were not allowed by Akira. Now the Mishnah says, Alam Ches, when it comes to a Tana, or a different type of oven, Shesiko Bekash, you can't place any food in it, whether it's inside or whether it's outside. We see by kashu gvava that although by the kir that was allowed, by the tanur, kashu gviva types of wood would not be allowed. Why? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi explains the mechanics of a tanur is mitoch shekotzer lamala, since it's very narrow at top, the roch of lamata is very wide at the bottom, it's shaped somewhat like a triangle pyramid, niklat choma lotocha tfei mikir, the heat is retained inside the oven in a much stronger way, and therefore it's more mechse kimavasha, looks like you're cooking. And then the Mishnah says, kofach, which is a different type of oven, we'll see it's more like a kira, but it's bigger than a kira, this shesiku bekash v'gvava, so then if it's fueled with kash v'gvava, hazer kiraim, it's like kiraim, and just like a kira, you could place when there's kash v'gvava, so to a kofach. But if there's gefes ve'etim in it, so then it would be harehu katana, it would be like a tanur, and it would be awesome. So the Gemara now says as follows. Tanur she'esikua, that if you had fueled the tanur, so we said it's aser. So Savar Rav Yosef Lamema, Rav Yosef wanted to initially say, Tocho mamash, agabav agabe mamash. When it says in the Mishnah, you can't place inside the oven, you can't place on top of the oven, that means mamash inside, mamash outside. On top, rather. About lismoch shaperdami, but to do smicha, to be sovich next to the tanur, that would be permitted. That was the implication, that was the diak Rav Yosef made from the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Esivei, Abai says, look at the second half of the Mishnah. a kofach, which is a type of oven, shehisikua bekashu v'gvava, that was lined and fueled with his type of wood and straw, harehu kikarayim, like kirayim, and would be permitted. Just like kira is permitted, the kashu v'gvava, so to a kofach would be. But gefes v'etim harei kitan v'aser. But if it was lined and fueled with gefes v'etim, it would be like a tanur and aser. So the Gemara says, ha kikira, shari. But had it been like a kira, it would be permitted. So fine. So that was the conclusion. So the Gemara says, wait a second. B'mai, with regard to which halacha? So B'mai, what are we talking about here? Ilema gaba, we're talking about putting on top. Uvemai, and we're already talking about ilema kishena garfa katum, and it wasn't properly covered. The coals were still hot. So elakira kena gufa v'ktuma gaba mishare. So had we had the similar case of a kira that wasn't garfa katum, would we permit a gabav? Certainly not. Kira is only permitted if it's garfa katum. Ella lav lismoch is not referring to smicha and katani. It says harehu katanir v'aser. So when we make the equation of kofach to tanur in the end of the mishnah, it can't be referring to gabav because the implication is only kofach and tanur aser in this case by gabav. But by kira would be permitted, but kira is not permitted if it's not garfa katum. So it must be talking about a different concept, talking about smicha. So only kofach the tanur is aser, but kira is mutter. So we see by the tanur that smicha is aser. So this goes against Rav Yosef. Yosef wanted to make medayik that only tocho and gabav is aser by tanur, but smicha is permitted. But the dik in the mission is that when it says kofach is lined with gefes ve'etim, it's like a tanur. It's referring to smicha, and they're both aser. So Gemara says, no, Amr Rav Ada Bar Abba, Hacha, B'kofach, Garfa Katam. We're talking about the Kofach is actually Garfa Katam, where the coals were removed, or the ashes were thrown on top of it. V'taner, Gufa V'ketumah Askiran. Harehu, Ketaner. What do you mean? The Afagav, the Garfa Katam, Agabav Aser. Even though the Taner is Garfa Katam, the Taner is more stringent Aser. Because the Kira, Kigufa K'tumah Shaper Dami. By Kira, if it's Garfa Katam, it's Mutter. But by Garfa Katam of a Taner and a Kofach, that actually is going to be more machmir, and that will actually be Aser. And the Gemara says, Tani Kavasa Debai, there's a Bais that supports a Bais position, saying that Taner Shesiku, Bekashva Gvava, if the Taner was lined with, like the beginning of the Mishnah says, with different types of straw, Ein Somchen, you can't do Smicha. Vein Tzarech Lomar, needless to say, Agaba, Vein Tzarech Lomar, Latocha, certainly you can't put it on top, and certainly you can't put it inside the Taner. Vein Tzarech Lomar, Begefes Ve'etim, and certainly not Gefes Ve'etim, which are always more machmir with this regard. And Kofach, with respect to Kofach, Shesikua Bekashva Gvava, you could do Somchen, Smicha is allowed. You can't place on top. You can't even do smicha by gefes ve'etzim. So amalei Rav Acha b'rei de Rav l'Rashi, hi kufach hechi dami. Now lemai. So what is kufach? Explain to me what is kufach. Ika kira dami. If we're going to categorize kufach as a kira, so then afil begefes ve'etzim nami. So gefes ve'etzim should have the same din as a kira. Ika taner dami. If we compare kufach to a taner, then afil bekashiv gava nami lo. Then you shouldn't even be able to do the kashiv gava. So kufach, what is it? Is it like a taner or is it like a kira? So the Gemara says, Amalei, Nafesh Havela Midikira. There's more hevel, there's more heat than a kira, therefore it's more chamer than a kira. However, Zuta Havela Midetaner, but there's less heat than a taner. In other words, Kofach is somewhere in between. It's a middle ground. So Heichidami Kofach, Heichidami Kira. What exactly is the construct of a Kofach and a kira? So Amar Rabbi Yossi, Bar Chanina, Kofach Makum Shepisas Kedera Achas, the Kira Makum Shepisas Shtei Kederas. Kira is an oven that's open, not as tight. A tanner is where it's very closed on the top, so the heat is really retained. Kofach, it's open on the top, but a kofach only has space for one pot, so it's a little bit more contained. But a kira has makom shepisas steak there, so it has space for two pots, and therefore it's more open, and therefore there's less heat. So this is very important to understand the different types of ovens. So then the Gemara says, Amar Abai says, V'itayim other say Rabbi Yirmiya, Af ananami tanina, we also learn this in Mishnah Kalim, Kira shnechlaka la'orka Torah, if you take a kira and you divide it by the length, it's Torah, the rachba tamei, if you do it in rachba, it's tamei, because since a kira has a place for two, so even though you cut it in half, so then it's still, each one has an individual space to hold a kedera. But if you have a kufach, which only has space for one kedera, and you divide it, bein l'orka, bein l'rachba, regardless of which direction you cut in, once you cut it in half, it's not going to have enough to hold the kedera, and therefore once a keli has no purpose anymore, it would be tahor. So we'll stop here, and mitzvah Hashem, we will continue tomorrow. Everyone have a good day and a good night.